The cross has been a symbol of our faith for hundreds of years. In fact, as far back as the second century, we've found evidence that the cross was drawn as a symbol for Jesus and for his followers and for the church. I imagine that quite a few of you this morning are wearing a cross around your neck. It's one of the ways that we show ourselves to be followers of Jesus. In fact, here in the sanctuary, we have three crosses, if you can find all three. And hanging out on the front of the church there, there's another large cross that shows folks as they drive up and down Broadway that Jesus is Lord of this church. And the cross tells that story. The cross reminds us that Jesus died for our sins. The cross stands for God's grace. The grace that saves us, that Jesus, through his death, paid for our sins. Our sins have been removed because of his death. And the cross is empty. So you look at the cross, this one is shrouded with a cloth, but Jesus is no longer there. The cross is empty because Jesus died once and for all. And he doesn't need to die anymore. Jesus died for your sins all those years ago, and the debt for your sins has already been paid. On Easter, we remember another empty place. The women went to the tomb early that morning. They went there with spices that they intended to use to anoint Jesus' body, the sort of final ritual of burial. And when the women arrived at the tomb, they found that the stone that covered the tomb had been rolled away and that the tomb itself was empty. And the empty tomb was the first piece of evidence of the resurrection, that Jesus was no longer dead, that Jesus was not in the tomb. He didn't need a tomb anymore because Jesus was alive. And now, 2,000 years later, we continue to rejoice about the empty tomb. And our lives are shaped by the resurrection. Our faith is defined by that glorious news that Jesus is not dead. He is alive now and forever. Earlier this morning, we heard that resurrection story from the Gospel of Matthew. And now, I'm going to read another passage of Scripture that is a beautiful description of Jesus. And it's not Jesus on the cross. It's not an image of Jesus as he walked out of the tomb early that morning. No, this is a description of Jesus as he is now. Jesus who has risen into heaven. Jesus as he is after returning to his divine and glorious form. And as I read this passage, I want us to think this morning about three really simple questions, but questions that are basic and fundamental to our faith. Questions that we need to know the answer to this morning. The first is, where is Jesus now? The second question is, what is Jesus like now? And the third question is, what is Jesus doing now? So with those questions on our hearts, this passage comes from Revelation chapter 1. And it's a vision that was given to John. John was one of Jesus' disciples. John followed Jesus through those years of public ministry. John witnessed as Jesus died on the cross. John knew Jesus after the resurrection. And he was there as Jesus rose into heaven. And then many years later, near the end of John's life, he was given a series of visions that formed the book of Revelation. And this is one of the first things that John saw in those visions. This is from Revelation chapter 1, beginning at verse 12. I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me. And when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands, and among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing waters. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp, double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am the living one. I was dead, but now look, I am alive forever and ever. And I hold the keys of death and Hades." John did his best to put into words what he saw in this extraordinary vision. But I imagine that what he saw was really too glorious, too amazing to put into human words, which is why John used a number of similes. You remember what a simile is from your seventh grade English class? John wrote things like, his hair was white like wool. It wasn't wool, but it was white like wool. His eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace. And you can get these images in your minds because these are things that maybe we've seen in real life, but John is seeing this in this sort of heavenly reality of his vision. And this is what it was like, John says. His voice, he says, was like the sound of rushing waters. And that's what it was like. John tried to describe that heavenly scene using our earthly words, but none of our words can really capture what he saw. Our risen Savior in all of his glory. As we celebrate the resurrection today, I want us to think about Jesus as he is now, as he exists now, and what the resurrection means for our lives and our faith now. It's a story that happened 2,000 years ago. Jesus walked out of the tomb. It is the most important single event in the history of the world. And we believe, just so we're all clear, we believe it actually happened the way the Bible says it happened. The tomb was really empty. Jesus really walked out that morning. He really greeted his disciples, spent 40 days on the earth after the resurrection, ascended into heaven. But this morning I want to think about Jesus today and our faith today. So we begin with this question: where is Jesus now? Where is he? You can read in Acts chapter 1 the story of when Jesus left the earth. Again, he spent 40 days after the resurrection with his disciples. And then Acts chapter 1 tells the story of Jesus speaking one last message, one final encouraging word to his friends and his followers, and he gave them again the mission that they were to carry on. He said, "You are to be my witnesses. You're to tell my story. You're to go everywhere in the world and tell people what you know about me." And we continue that mission even today. And then after Jesus spoke those words to his disciples, it says that he was lifted up. He ascended into heaven. As they watched, he left the earth and he was lifted up and eventually disappeared into the clouds, into the sky. And Jesus returned to heaven. So that's the simplest answer to this question. Where is Jesus now? Well, he's in heaven. But I think there's more to it than that. You see, Jesus also made a promise to his disciples before he left the earth. And he said to them that he would not leave them alone. Even though Jesus physically left the earth, he promised that he would send back, sort of in his place, his Spirit, what we know as the Holy Spirit. Jesus' own Spirit that came to live with his followers. And the Holy Spirit comes into our lives now. And every follower of Jesus Christ has Jesus' Spirit living within us, dwelling within us. spending God's own power and energy at work in our lives every day and every moment that we live. The Spirit gives us power, gives us comfort, gives us wisdom. The Spirit is, in fact, the presence of Jesus Christ always with us, even here right now in this place. Jesus is present here with us by His Spirit. So we ask the question, where is Jesus? And the answer is, Jesus lives in heaven, but His Spirit dwells with us, with His followers. And that's an extraordinary truth that we rejoice in today. And it leads us to another amazing truth about where Jesus is today. You see, the New Testament calls us, who are Jesus' followers, us, the church, the New Testament calls us the body of Christ, which is an amazing thing to think about. Jesus walked on this earth for 30-some years and then died and rose again and ascended into heaven. And Jesus physically is no longer on this earth. And yet we now, according to Scripture, are the body of Christ. We now represent Jesus, the visible and physical representation of Jesus in the world today. We form the body of Christ living in the world today. That's a high calling, to say the least. I know as I think about my own life, I don't feel worthy of that. I don't feel like I deserve for people to look at me and see Jesus in my life. But you see, the way the body of Christ works is this, that I play my little part, and you play your part, and Jesus' followers all across the world today play their part, and together, as we join ourselves together in ministry, as we join ourselves together in fellowship, despite our failings, despite even our differences within the church, we together form as best we can the body of Christ. So that when the world looks at the church, the collection of God's people, they should see a reflection of who Jesus is. Which is still a high calling. Even with all of us working together, we still have to be our very best. We still have to work our very hardest so that we can show the world who Jesus is. His love and compassion and grace, and to offer the world the new life that He has given to us. So that brings us to our second question. What is Jesus like now? What is Jesus like now? Jesus did not return to heaven as a human. Maybe that's a bit of confusion in your own mind about that. In fact, John writes here as he sees this vision, the first thing he says about Jesus is he looks and there are these golden lampstands, which, by the way, represent the church. And as you read through Revelation, each lampstand represents a different congregation or different region where believers live. And then among those lampstands, John says he sees someone like a son of man. And that is Jesus, who he sees and then begins to describe in the sort of poetic language. So John sees him there like a son of man, but the reality is that Jesus is no longer a man. He's no longer a human being. Jesus came into this world. He took on our flesh. He lived among us as a person, fully man and yet fully God, dwelling here on the earth among us. He experienced the whole range of human life. He had friends. He experienced happiness and joy. He also experienced difficulties and temptations and suffering. And ultimately, Jesus endured death, real physical death. Jesus lived as a man on this earth. And when Jesus rose from death and He walked out of the tomb, He was still in a human physical body. And then He walked on the earth another 40 days. But then Jesus ascended into heaven. And His body disappeared into the clouds. And in that moment, Jesus returned not only to heaven, but He returned to His glorious and divine form. You see, Jesus has existed from all eternity. From before the creation of the world, Jesus has existed along with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, the Godhead, three in one. They have existed together, perfect in unity and power and glory from all eternity. And that is how Jesus will exist for all eternity. John saw this vision of Jesus in heaven. And it gives us a bit of a glimpse, a bit of an idea of what it would be like if we were today to see Jesus there in heaven. But John's vision in Revelation chapter 1 is not supposed to be sort of a portrait of Jesus. As we read these words, we can kind of get an idea of the glory of Jesus' appearance, but we aren't supposed to draw a picture of what John saw there and say, that's what Jesus looks like today. In fact, throughout the New Testament, and particularly in the book of Revelation, Jesus, as he exists in heaven, is depicted or envisioned in different ways. In the book of Revelation, Jesus more often is seen as a lamb, and specifically as a lamb who was slain and yet is living. And the idea here is that we don't know. We don't know what it would be like to see Jesus face to face today. We can't conceive of his glory. We can't conceive of that divine presence of our risen Savior. But we do know this. Jesus is glorious, powerful, and loving. What is Jesus like today? He is today as he has been for all eternity, existing with God the Father and God the Spirit and in perfect power and wisdom and glory and love. When Jesus came to the earth, he set aside the full extent of that glory and power. He fit himself into a human body, and maybe that's how we think of Jesus as he existed during that time on the earth. But now, our risen Lord exists as he always has, fully divine, fully glorious with God. And that is how we will know him when we reach heaven, when we finally stand before the throne of God and Jesus is there at the right hand of God the Father. We will see him in all of his glory and perfection and divine power. But for now, as we ask this question, what is Jesus like? Amazingly enough, we can also help answer that question for others. Because you see, we show the world what Jesus is like as best we can. And this gets back to this idea of being the body of Christ in the world, that we show people around us. We show our neighbors and our community and people outside the church. And as those people look at your life and at our church and the things that we do as followers of Jesus, we are showing them a reflection of who Jesus is and what he's like, and we do our very best to show that reflection. Even in our failing and frail ways, we reflect Jesus into the world today by how we love people, by how we honor God, by how we obey his word. We help people see who Jesus is. Now that raises a third question. What is Jesus doing right now? If you could see Jesus right now, what do you think he would be doing? As he lives there in heaven, although knowing also that his spirit is dwelling here with us on the earth. People often ask a related question. What will we do in heaven? And I think sometimes people ask that question sort of like, you know, heaven sounds pretty great, but isn't it going to be boring just to sing songs and play our harps all the time? And eternity sure is a long time to just be playing that harp. And I don't know. You see, I imagine that we will do far more than just play harps and sing songs for all eternity. I also imagine that what we do in heaven will be more exciting and more fulfilling and more meaningful than anything we will ever do on this earth. And whatever you imagine heaven will be, whatever your idea of paradise is, go ahead and imagine that, but it's going to be even better. And I can't tell you what exactly we will do for all eternity, but I can promise you, you will never get bored in heaven. In the same way, Jesus does important work in heaven. Jesus is occupied. He's busy in heaven. He's doing things right now. The New Testament tells us there are at least two things that Jesus is doing right now in heaven. And that is that Jesus intercedes for us, and Jesus prepares a place for us in heaven. So let me explain those two things. First, Jesus is watching over you right now with His power and with His grace. In Romans chapter 8, verse 34, it says that Jesus is at the right hand of God interceding for us. And that word interceding, we often think of as meaning praying, and I think that's part of it. Jesus is praying for us. But interceding can also mean sort of working on your behalf, mediating for you, going to bat for you. Jesus is watching over your life, and He is working to make sure that your life goes the way that God desires for it to go. As Jesus is at God's right hand, His Spirit is also at work in our lives. And that's also what it means that He's interceding. He's empowering us. He's inspiring us. He's comforting and encouraging us. He is with you every moment of your day, every moment of your life, helping you to live the way that God wants you to live. So that's part of what Jesus is doing right now. The second part is Jesus told His disciples, shortly before He went to the cross, in fact, what He would do for us while He was in heaven. And let me read this. This is from John chapter 14. Jesus said, "My Father's house has many rooms. And if it were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me so that you also may be where I am." In other words, Jesus says, when I'm in heaven and you're here on the earth, I'm going to be preparing an eternal home for you in God's house. And you can imagine God's house being heaven. There in heaven, Jesus is making a home for you. And it's the home that you will get to enjoy and live in for the rest of eternity. Now, we know from the Gospels that Jesus' earthly father was a builder, a carpenter. And so Jesus almost certainly grew up being instructed in that trade as a builder. He's often known as a carpenter, but they didn't have a lot of trees in Galilee. He was most likely more like a stonemason, but he would build homes, and he would make little buildings in the villages around Galilee. That was what Jesus learned to do as a young man. And then we also know from the beginning of John's Gospel that when God created the world, John tells us that God created the world through Jesus. In other words, Jesus was there when this entire world was built and called into existence by God's Word. So with those two images in your mind, I think it's safe to say that our home in heaven that Jesus is building for us right now is going to be pretty amazing. The greatest builder that the world has ever known, the creator of everything that we have ever seen in this world, is creating a new home for you in heaven. So as we look forward to that great reward in heaven, as we look forward to the promise of our faith, as we remember today that Jesus rose from the dead and we too will rise, and we will get to live with God forever. We rejoice in the good news that Jesus is interceding for us, and He is also preparing a place for us to go and be with Him forever in heaven. But we aren't ready to go to heaven right now. God is not calling us home in this moment. Jesus said that one day He will come back and take us to be with Him. Maybe our lives on this earth will end before Jesus comes back. Whichever comes first, we will get to go and be with Him forever in heaven. But it's not yet, because we still have work to do here in this life. You see, Jesus left us with a mission, with a calling. And our mission is to carry on Jesus' work in the world. And we ask the question, what is Jesus doing right now? Well, we've talked about that, but we also need to think about what we are doing right now. And that is that we are carrying on Jesus' work. And we don't do it alone. Jesus' own Spirit is enabling us, is helping us, is inspiring us and guiding us in the right way that we should go. But we get to carry on that work that He started. As Jesus prepares that heavenly home for us, as He intercedes for us, as He empowers us by His Spirit, we now continue the work that He started. We love people in His name. We invite people to find new life through Jesus. We worship and pray and fellowship and build the church of Jesus Christ. And we tell the story. We tell the story of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. And one of the ways that we tell that story is through the communion meal. In just a few minutes, we're going to share that meal together. And we're going to remember that Jesus' body was broken and His blood was shed so that our sins could be cleansed, could be taken away from us. And we also, in this meal, celebrate the resurrection because we believe that it's Jesus who invites us to the table. Just as He gathered His disciples in the upper room shortly before He was betrayed and arrested and put to death. And Jesus gave His disciples this meal. And so this morning, it's Jesus who invites us to the table again because His Spirit is present with us. Our risen Savior and Lord is present here today, and we rejoice in that good news. So let me invite you as we prepare for the meal, as we rejoice in all that God has done for us, let me invite you to bow your heads again. Father, we give You thanks today for Your goodness and Your love. We thank You that Jesus died and rose again, and I pray now that You would help each one of us to rejoice, to give thanks. But Lord, help us also to spread that good news. Teach us, Lord, how to love people in Your name. Teach us how to tell the story of Jesus and what He means in our lives, that we have found new life, that we have that great hope of going to that home that Jesus is preparing for us in heaven. Help us, Lord, to tell that story and to share our faith, to be witnesses for Jesus in a way that will draw others to You. Lord, I pray for family and friends of each one of us that as we gather around tables later today, as we share meals and celebrate Easter today, Lord, help us to tell Your story. And Father, we pray especially today for those who don't yet know Jesus. And I pray that their hearts would be open to You today. And that they would bow their knees and come to know that Jesus Christ is their Savior. Lord, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace and for the good news that Jesus is alive now and forever. Amen.